Good morning, and welcome back to your morning conversation right here on KXCV KRNW. I'm Jeremy Werner. Joining me this morning is Dr. Alyssa Ford. She's an associate professor of history at Northwest Missouri State University, as well as an author. She's written a new book titled Rodeo is Refuge, Rodeo is Rebellion, which is now available for purchase. So first things first, tell me about the book as well as the background and kind of the origins of where you got the idea for the book.
So this book is something that I have been working on for far too long. The idea for this topic, or what eventually led me to this topic, actually started in my senior year of college in 2003. That we have a kind of Jan plan where you go off and do internships or a month-long class or something like that. And I did an internship at the National Cowgirl Museum and Hall of Fame in Fort Worth, Texas. And part of what my responsibilities were there was to go through the different nominations that were coming in to nominate someone to be in the Hall of Fame. And in going through those, I was then also looking at all of the people who were already in the Hall of Fame. And at that time, there were only two non-white women. And it was a black mother and daughter who were ranchers in Texas who were part of the Hall of Fame. And that just seemed very strange to me. From Texas, where you have these very large, historic, like Hispanic ranches, I knew that there was black rodeo. I knew there was Native American rodeo. And so I wanted to learn more about those different types of rodeo and women in those rodeos. And so eventually that ended up becoming the topic that I looked at for my master's thesis, for my PhD dissertation, and then eventually finally has culminated with this book.
And what time periods are we talking about here?
Yeah, so I kind of do all of the time periods. So my argument about the rodeo is that I look at rodeo as a sport, but rodeo is more than a sport. There's something that is different about it than other sports in the United States. And my argument about this is because rodeo has these like historical connections, right? These ranching connections. So to participate in rodeo is a little bit different than participating, being a football player, than being on a baseball team, because it's a way to kind of stake this American identity, this Western identity, because it's got this history of like being an American, being Western, that's a part of it. And so that's kind of that focus and that argument that I'm taking there. And then can you I don't think I answered all parts of your question, actually. So what was rest of that question?
I just simply asked what time periods.
Okay. Yes. I knew there was part of that I wasn't getting to. So in order to answer that question, I look at the background of the different groups that I talk about in this book. So I look at black rodeo, Native American rodeo, rodeo in Hawaii, the charreada, which is Mexican rodeo, but is also in the U.S., and then gay rodeo. So for each of those, I'm tracing kind of the background of each of those groups in the American West and in ranching, and then how they got involved in rodeo. So it has this very like historical focus, but these are all rodeo circuits that still exist today. And so a lot of what I talk about are things that are still happening today. So it kind of goes back through the 1800s, for some of them even further back, and then continues with people still involved in these events today.
And how do you find information like that when you dip back into the 19th century?
Yeah, so, I mean, it can be easier to find that information, actually, than some of the more recent information. And part of the reason it's more difficult to find the more recent information is that, I mean, first of all, these are rodeos that most people outside of those rodeo circuits don't even know exist. They haven't been identified as important. No one's asked them to, like, keep their records, to donate their records to archives. The only real collection out of any of those rodeos that you can go and look at is the International Gay Rodeo Association has donated extensive materials to and archives that you can go and look at, but there's really nothing to look at on like black rodeo on a lot of these different groups. It's really hard. But like ranching in Hawaii is actually pretty well documented. So that's something that you're able to look at. You're able to see kind of what other historians and other academics have written. And then look at cowboys in Hawaii are called Paniolos. So there's like a Paniolo Hall of Fame, just like there's a Cowboy Hall of Fame. And they have oral interviews that have been done with a lot of the inductees. And so that's a great source of information to learn about like the history of ranching in Hawaii.
So not to give away the book, but when you go back through all these different rodeo circuits, what is it that you find in different circles that are different from other rodeo circuits?
Yeah. So most of the rodeos that I discuss in the book are very similar to, if not based directly on, like the kind of mainstream Western rodeo that like we often think of when we think of the rodeo. Black rodeo is the same. It has the same events as a white rodeo does. And that's because it was created by black riders who, because of segregation, were not allowed to participate in white rodeo. Native American rodeo is the same. So, I mean, those are created out of discrimination, racism, and segregation. And so they are simply like the Western rodeo for these other groups. There's a couple events that sometimes will appear differently in Native American rodeo, but not very many. Hawaiian rodeo is the same. I mean, Hawaiian rodeo, it's kind of an interesting one because it's not really like a race or a group-specific rodeo in the same way that these others are. It's literally just Western rodeo in Hawaii. But it's so separate, right? Hawaii is so separate from the rest of the United States that there's something about it that feels very different. Like those people, it's very different if you are – it's very difficult if you are Hawaiian to be able to ever come to like – a national finals rodeo in the United States. You can't participate in enough of those like professional circuit rodeos. They just don't exist for you, and it would be too expensive to do so. So it feels like a different type of rodeo, and they actually do have a very specific event there that is tied to ranching history in Hawaii. So in Hawaii, when cattle were first introduced, they were just allowed to like run wild. And these were longhorn cattle that had been brought over from California. And they just became wild and were basically terrorizing Hawaiians. And there's like these amazing reports of like these like wild cattle like goring people and just like doing these things. And so then Hawaii, the king of Hawaii hired cattle killers. So people to come over from the United States and just like go out and like kill some of the cattle. And then eventually they're able to start getting the cattle and kind of exporting them for like tallow and like some other like products from these cattle. But they still weren't like in a formal ranch or like fenced in or something like that. And so they would go into the interior like wooded part of the islands, rope the cattle and like tie them to a tree until they could like come back and like take them out. And so this rodeo event is a like a stick, a stake kind of thing that's Y-shaped, and you have to go and like rope a cow and then like tie it to this. So it's this really cool example of an event that has very clear historical origins that are like so uniquely Hawaiian that you only find in those rodeos.
And I'm sure you come across that throughout every kind of circle you come across in the rodeos across the country and across the generations you've looked at.
Yeah, again, so in some, like not really in black rodeo, not too much in Native American rodeo. You see some different things in gay rodeo, and you see some different things in the Chariata is the most different. I mean, it is a completely different rodeo than the American rodeo, though a lot of the events feel similar. But it's kind of the closest to that Hawaiian event where, like, you can see very clear connections to, like, the ranching background of those communities and how those events have developed.
Now, you've mentioned a little bit throughout about the racism and segregation that you've seen over the generations. Is that something that's still prevalent today?
Yeah. I mean, so rodeo is still often a more conservative place. It is, I mean, up through the 1980s, even the 1990s, black riders on the professional circuit have spoken really publicly about the racism that they have received, sometimes by other writers, other cowboys on the circuit, but often from like the communities that they're going to participate in these rodeos. So like at the bars or the hotels or just in the audience. So that's definitely, like, you still have some of that discrimination that's there. You have gay riders, gay cowboys that say the same thing. They feel more comfortable in the gay rodeo because it's not really as okay to be, like, gay in other rodeo.
Do you see that changing or do you see that continuing?
So I think it's definitely already been changing. And one of the things that I think is so interesting about rodeo is that you have many of these separate rodeo circuits that were created because of segregation, but they still exist, right? And there's the other sports in this country that had segregated rodeo events, or not rodeo, segregated like sporting circuits, right? Like baseball, right? With the Negro leagues. There were Chinese baseball leagues, a whole array of different kind of racialized baseball leagues. They all disappear when segregation ends. But these separate rodeos still exist. And my argument is that they do not still exist specifically because of discrimination or like racism, though there is still some of that discrimination that's there, but that they still exist. It ties back to that earlier answer that I had about how rodeo has this other importance, right? Because it has this historical importance, like there's something different about doing the charreada, right? Like if you are Hispanic, doing that means something different to you than doing like American Western rodeo in the United States. And because of that, the kind of historical connections that these different circuits have, it's sort of allowed them to continue even when segregation is no longer a requirement.
Okay. Sounds interesting. Where can people find your book at?
Yeah, so you can purchase it at it's published by the University Press of Kansas. So you can purchase it on their website, but you can also just purchase it on Amazon, and it will show up very quickly for you. And there's like a very expensive sort of hardcover version, but it's really the paperback that you want. So buy the cheaper version, and then you get the cool cover and all the cool photographs inside.
All right. Well, anything else you'd like to add?
I don't think so. It's a fun book. It's not written in a super kind of theoretical academic way. So like, don't be afraid if you are not from an academic background. It really is a book about the history of these rodeos and stories. And it's got like, I think great pictures and images, of each of them. So it's a fun book to check out.
All right, Dr. Ford, thank you for coming on. Once again, that's Dr. Alyssa Ford, an associate professor of history at Northwest Missouri State University, as well as an author. Her latest book is called Rodeo as Refuge, Rodeo as Rebellion, and it's currently available on Amazon.com. I'm Jeremy Werner, and this has been your morning conversation right here on KXCV KRNW.